Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. For some people, bicycling is a great way to get exercise and have fun. But for people in South Africa, it could be a way of survival. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is May 4th, 2013. We are on day two of our lifestyle article, Bicycle Portraits. You can find it on pages 12 and 13 in your Advanced magazine, and it's very interesting. We're learning about two young gentlemen. They wrote a book chronicling their experiences of riding around South Africa on bicycles, chasing down people who also were riding bicycles, interviewing them, photographing them, and finding out just what is going on with them and what it means in their life to have this bicycle. And it's actually quite fascinating. It's quite a cultural study. So I recommend that you also do some research into this. Yesterday, we had talked about there was a YouTube video that Amanda had sent me the link to that these two guys were on a TED conference talking about their experience. And then we also we'll get into a website today that they also have set up. So we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But first, let me get a thought about yesterday before we move on. First, I've got Amanda. Hi.
Hi, Bill. Glad to be back and just talking about this bicycle article. What impressed me is just yesterday we met Mickey Mamp, and that nothing deters her, nothing stops her from riding her bicycle. She actually told the two authors, you just ride, and if it gets a puncture, if the bicycle gets a puncture, you patch it and then you go. Now, the word patch means to fix something, and we often use that in everyday language. You know, I need to patch up my my bag, or I need to patch up my computer even, meaning to fix something.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I liked that one.
Sometimes there's even a software patch. They have to change a program.
Right.
Yeah, to fix a problem. So, all right, Elizabeth Sunshine's here.
Yes, it's great to be back on Advanced. And one of the things that struck me yesterday was it was talking about how South Africa doesn't have a strong bike commuting culture. So that means in the culture, there aren't a lot of people who will ride their bikes to work or to school or anything like that. And that made me think of my own home in America, because I don't think the U.S. has a very strong bike commuting culture, at least not in New England.
No, I don't see it. It's We were talking about that here in Taipei and Kaohsiung and Taichung. We see a very strong bicycling culture, right?
Yes.
And in fact, there are many bicycle manufacturers located here.
Right. Actually, many of my friends who live in Taichung, some of them are also South African, very involved in the cycling industry. And there is a very strong cycling community throughout Taiwan.
A lot of riders and also some very important manufacturers. I think there's also a cultural thing here in Asia. I think historically people have used bicycles more, particularly in urban areas. You can even go back and see pictures from 100 years ago. People are riding bicycles much more frequently. And even today, what was so fascinating is like the last time I was in Beijing, seeing people, how many people are bicycling on the side of the road. They actually have, of course, lanes set up specifically for bicycles. And so there's it's a different cultural thing, much more accepted. Whereas in America, the thing is you own a car.
Yes.
Right? Everybody owns a car.
Yes, everyone owns a car. And when you're going to work, usually you'll take your car and go out on the highway.
Right.
And I think that's part of why people don't bicycle that much, because there are so many people on the cars and with the risk of being hit. And as Amanda mentioned yesterday, the cars let off a lot of fumes, and so you have to smell that as you're riding on your bike, and it's not very pleasant.
There's actually very little accommodation made for bikers in most American cities, and most cities don't have bike lanes. Right? That's changing slightly, but It's just not something that historically they have accommodated.
There's been no room
for bikers. It's actually become very – it can be very dangerous, as you said.
Yes. So. I have a few friends in the States who will do bike races, and they always have to be very careful to wear bright colored clothing
and
stay on the sides of the road and watch for cars because it is dangerous if you're not paying attention.
Yeah, New Zealand has actually become more and more of a cycling commuting culture.
Mm-hmm.
We've got designated cycling lanes, and many of my friends bike to work in the morning, and they may be biking 20 or 30 kilometers to work.
Yeah.
So it's encouraged.
Okay, great. Mm. Okay, well, let's get into our readings for today. The article is Bicycle Portraits, and we're on day two, so turn to page 13, and our first reading will be that first section titled The Risks of Cycling.
The Risks of Cycling. Unfortunately, there is a stigma attached to bicycles that may have originated in the apartheid era of racial segregation when companies issued free bicycles to minors and other lowly black workers. The reasons are complex, Grobler said. People think cycling is only for the poor, so they don't want to be seen on a bicycle. They would rather take a taxi, commuter minibus, or a bus. The country's dangerous roads don't help. Bicycle lanes are unheard of, and drivers are so unused to cyclists that they forget to look out for them. People say it can't be done. In their minds, you can't ride on the roads because it's too dangerous, Grobler said.
Okay, the risk of cycling in South Africa. And we're talking about, we're picking up from yesterday talking about some of the limits and people have there, some of the things that they struggle with. They struggle with movement there in South Africa. Well, unfortunately...
Yes, unfortunately, one of the reasons why people don't cycle that much, it says, is that there's a stigma attached to bicycles. Mm. Now, a stigma is a feeling or a sense in society that a certain thing is bad or wrong, or you shouldn't do it.
Yeah, it's looked down upon. So,
yes.
And there are many stigmas in all cultures. Mm-hmm. So maybe somebody comes from a certain ethnic group. They face a stigma. It's very difficult to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Or if people have maybe a disability, it can be a stigma. So
yes.
People make life hard on people with stigmas.
Right.
So now there is the stigma attached or connected to
bicycles that may have originated in the apartheid era of racial segregation. Now, originated means to begin or to start from or come from. And so they believe that this feeling of shame may have come from the apartheid era. Now, this is a political system in South Africa that was used in a legal way to separate the black and the white people from each other.
Okay. All right. And so this is, South Africa's history dealing with apartheid and where the blacks were, given, very poor treatment and did not have opportunities. And so it's a pretty dark part of their history.
Yes.
So this stigma, then it goes back to that period of time.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that bicycles, the concept of bicycles during this era of racial segregation still exists. Now, segregation?
Segregation is a more general term than apartheid, but it talks about any time you're keeping one group of people apart from others because of their race or their religion or their sex or any other reason.
And this segregation happens many places, all over the world, different groups, of course, based upon ethnicity or race. Those are the two main things. Groups are segregated.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so we go back to this time period. What happened back then?
Well, we see that back then companies issued free bicycles to miners and other lowly black workers. So the idea of a bicycle was usually associated with low economic or people that were considered low class, not considered middle or high class. So maybe you would say that was the icon that represented them at that time.
Yeah. So today, then, people don't want to be associated with that. You know,
right.
Today people are like, well, I don't want that. I don't want people to think that I'm, you know, I'm part of that era and I was like at this low level. You know, in some ways they considered themselves almost like slaves. They were paid wages, but very, very low wages. And they were treated incredibly, you know, in poorly.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody wants to be associated with that era.
Right.
So
right.
Now, we see then that Nick Grobler goes into some of the reasons.
Yes, he says the reasons are complex, but then he starts listing some of them. He says people think cycling is only for the poor, so they don't want to be seen on a bicycle. I think that's similar to what we were talking about before, where it's associated with the poor workers from the past.
Mm. Right.
So he says that instead of a bicycle, people would rather take a taxi, which to him means a commuter minibus or a bus.
Yeah. So they're using the word taxi, but they actually mean something that's more like a van or one of those small buses.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things there. It's all in the optics. What does it look like? And people don't want to be seen with this. They don't want to be perceived as being poor.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they still may be poor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is kind of interesting.
So. Yes.
Then we see about the country's roads at the top of the right column.
Right. We also learned that another reason that people may not like it is that the country's dangerous roads don't help. In other words, maybe they're not very well sealed, they're not very well covered, or there may be a lot of traffic on there. Well, the cars and the drivers are unable to take in mind that there are cyclists on the road.
Well, we talked about bicycle lanes in America, and it sounds like like South Africa.
Yes, it says bicycle lanes are unheard of. And what that means is it's surprising or it's shocking because it's not known about or previously experienced.
Yeah.
So not only do they not have bicycle lanes, they probably haven't even heard of this idea.
Yeah, it's a foreign concept. And because it is a foreign concept,
the drivers are so unused to cyclists that they forget to look out for them. And I think that concept also happens, here in Taipei. People have to be careful. Drivers have to be careful of scooters as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if the drivers are not looking out for them, well, it's very easy for bicyclists to get hit.
Yes.
And it does happen quite often. We're talking about America. It does happen quite often there, and I'm sure it does happen in South Africa.
I remember when I first came and I lived in a city in Taichung, I biked everywhere as well. I didn't have a scooter yet, and I was using my bicycle, and I would have to always watch out for people opening their doors.
Yeah. Oh, very much. You very much need to be aware of that. So I do, when I do pass cars that are parked, things like that, I try to look in the mirrors to see where they're looking. And,
right.
And if I see they're not looking, then I slow down or steer wide of them.
Yeah.
People say it can't be done. And why?
Well, in their minds, you can't ride on the roads because it's too dangerous, Grobler said.
Yeah.
So it sounds like it doesn't even occur to them that you could ride on the roads because they just say, no, that's too much of a risk.
Mm.
So not are they worried about looking bad, looking poor, but they have to look at this and say, well, it's too dangerous. You can't even do this.
Right.
So those are some of the reasons, some of the risks of cycling. Now, our second reading for today gets into celebrating cyclists.
Celebrating cyclists. The pair rode around South Africa, seeking out wild, remote places, stopping every cyclist they met, and riding part of the road with them. When they didn't find a cyclist, they asked people to help them track one down. They collected hundreds of stories and portraits of bicyclists, gathered on a website, www.bicycleportraits.co.za, and in three photo books, all simply called Bicycle Portraits. As we went around the entire country, we found that cyclists are often eccentric, or a little bit outsiders. They love their bikes. They're really proud of them, Engelbrecht said. We felt we really wanted to celebrate these people. Grobler and Engelbrecht were inspired by Stephanie Baker, an 83-year-old white woman in Pretoria who rides out with dignified grandeur every day. A lot of people in the old age home where she lives don't even walk out the front gate, Grobler said. Baker waves happily to each gardener, street sweeper, and security guard she passes. Cycling is awfully good public relations, she told the pair. At least I can get around and see the beauty of the place, too.
Bill Quinn here with Amanda Young-Pierre and Elizabeth Sunshine. We're on our final reading of our article, Bicycle Portraits. Page 13, right column. Now, how did our authors gather their information?
Well, they rode around South Africa, and they were seeking out wild, remote places, stopping every cyclist they met and riding part of the road with them.
Okay, so, and we talked a little bit about that earlier. They were looking for cyclists, people to talk to, and, you know, there were people that they would run across and just start talking to them. And but what happened if they couldn't find any?
Well, if they didn't find a cyclist, they asked people to help them track one down, which means they would go looking for someone who rode a bicycle. I guess since bicycling is kind of unusual in South Africa, people would remember that they saw someone commuting on a bicycle.
It's quite an interesting idea, you know, just say, excuse me, have you seen anybody, you know, ride past? Oh, yeah, at about 10 o'clock this morning, someone rode past.
Sure.
You know, pink bicycle.
Well, maybe, you know, yeah, they might have been going through the village, and like Elizabeth said, people will remember who the bicyclists are. So maybe these guys are riding. They can't find anybody, so they ask these guys on the side of the road, hey, we're looking for bicyclists, and the guys are probably saying, oh, yeah. Mickey Mapp rides by here every day at 10 o'clock, and they might say, oh, you know, there she is, or she'll be coming by soon. Just for your reference, listeners, that's Mickey there at the bottom of page 12 in that left corner. She's sitting there right next to her bicycle, so she looks like she's ready to go. All right, now our writers, they're tracking people down in South Africa, cyclists to talk to, and they did quite a bit of research, right?
They did. They collected hundreds of stories and portraits. Portraits are also pictures of these bicyclists. And they gathered them on a website. So our listeners can go to this website. It's at www.bicycleportraits.co.za. The ZA represents South Africa.
Now, did you have a chance to go to that website, Amanda?
I did, and I saw all these pictures, like the ones we have here above our title. There are different kinds of pictures on the beginning of that webpage.
Okay, I had a chance also. I checked out their webpage. Really cool. I loved this webpage. I recommend it to our listeners. Go there, and just the pictures are great. And the thing that's really cool about these pictures is they're normal. They're just normal people.
Right.
They're not models, right? And they're not dressed up like they're ready for the Tour de France.
Right.
And they just look like normal people. And they've got profiles of these people. And it's really cool. And you can learn a lot about not only the people but the country then through these profiles. In addition to the website, there are also three photo books, all simply called Bicycle Portraits.
I know in Western culture, a lot of people like to have photo books underneath their coffee tables for guests to take a look at.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm guessing that this kind of book would be ideal for your coffee table, you know, for guests to just come and have a look at. And it would strike up a lot of conversations, I think, too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Next paragraph, we hear from Stan Engelbrecht.
Yes, he says, as we went around the entire country, we found that cyclists are often eccentric or a little bit outsiders. And they used the word eccentric earlier. We talked about this yesterday. It means strange or unusual. And he also says they're outsiders, which means they are people who are a bit different from the others who are around them. Maybe they're outside as opposed to inside, so they're just different a little
bit. Yeah.
What I like about eccentric people is they're very unique and they're not afraid to live life a little bit differently. So they often have a lot of great stories to share with you if you get into conversation with them.
I can understand that because sometimes when I tell people I bicycle around Taipei, a lot of people look at me like, huh? Are you kidding?
Right.
They're like, you know, that doesn't even sound right.
Right.
They can't believe it. I do that. So most people, a few do.
But I'm sure you have a lot of stories about the city because you bike around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Plus, it's great because I like to take pictures. Mm-hmm. And it's a great way to get angles on things.
Bill, you need to make a book.
You know what? I need to make a book. That's right. Taipei cyclist. So, all right. These people, they love their bikes. They're really proud of them, Engelbrecht said. And he finishes this paragraph by saying,
he says, we really want to celebrate these people. So I think that's sort of like what Amanda said, where these people may be a little bit strange or they may look different from the other people you know, but they have great stories and they're really interesting and probably a lot of fun to be around.
Yeah, somebody that sounds fun to be around is Stephanie Baker.
That's right. We see that Grober and Engelbrecht were inspired by Stephanie Baker. She's 83-year-old white woman in Pretoria. Now, Pretoria is another city in South Africa. And she rides out with dignity, or should I say dignified grandeur, every day.
Okay. Now, what do we mean by dignified grandeur?
Well, these are both vocabulary focus words. Dignified means serious or graceful in a manner or style in a way that deserves respect. So when I hear the word dignified, I think of a queen or a king, someone who maybe has a very high status and knows they should be respected and acts that way. And grandeur is a quality of great beauty and size which attracts admiration. So maybe a palace or a large, beautiful building would have grandeur.
Okay. And it's interesting what Nick Grobler has to say about Stephanie.
Well, she says a lot of people in the old age home where she lives don't even walk out of the front gate. So she is unique in the fact that she actually gets outside of her old age home, whereas the other residents stay inside.
I can believe that. There would be a hesitancy on the part of the residents to leave that home. Also, physical limitations on being able to just ride a bicycle. She's lucky. She's 83. She can still ride her bicycle. In fact, as she goes along, we see in line 28, Baker waves happily to each gardener, street sweeper, and security guard she passes. And we finish by hearing from Stephanie Baker.
Yes. She says, cycling is awfully good public relations. And so what he means by that, I think, is it's a great way to meet people and to see people. I'm sure that all of the people that she is waving to as she goes by are very happy to see her. And I know if I were outside working and I saw this older woman riding by on her bike waving happily to me, that would make me smile every day.
It would be cute. So it would be good for us, but it also sounds like it's good for her.
She says, at least I can get around and see the beauty of the place, too. So she loves to explore and see the beauty outside of the old age home.
I think Stephanie Baker and I are soulmates. I want to give her a call, see if I can ride with her
there
at least one time. So, in fact, listeners, look there at page 12. If you've got our magazine, Stephanie Baker is up there. She's that picture in the right upper corner on page 12 with her bicycle. My bicycle looks a lot like that. So I got a basket in the front, too, to carry my groceries around.
You were meant to be.
Well, before we finish today, let's have our feature.
Hey, Steve, what are you going to do on your vacation next week?
Hi, Hannah. I'm planning on riding my bicycle around Taiwan.
Wow, that sounds like quite an adventure, but also a lot of hard work and maybe even dangerous.
Ha! No problem for me. Since I'm in such great shape and thick-skinned, I can deal with anything.
So where does your trip originate, Taipei?
Actually, I'll begin my journey in Keelung, then go down the east coast to enjoy the grandeur of the mountains and the ocean.
Be careful. You know, that road from Suao to Hualien is narrow with a lot of traffic.
The traffic could be challenging, but I'm more worried about getting punctures in my tires, which would slow me down.
But I envy that leg of the journey from Hualien to Taitung. The road is wide and the scenery is magnificent, although that area lacks much infrastructure.
That's okay. I plan on sleeping outside near the ocean, and I will catch fish for my dinner and cook it on an open fire.
You've always been a bit eccentric. Most people would stay at a motel and grab some food at a convenience store.
I know my routine is unheard of, but I'm kind of a rugged guy, you know.
Few people would know that, Steve, since you're always so well-dressed and dignified in the office.
There are two sides to me, Hannah. The professional everybody sees in the office, and then the wild outdoorsman I become on the weekend. Do you want to join me on my bike trip?
No. But thanks for the offer. I prefer Club Med in Bali. Good luck on your journey.
Thanks, and I'll see you when I get back. Okay, well, Steve has got a big trip planned there, so sounds good. I'm sure many of our listeners have made that journey all around the island. So now, we do have a sidebar there at the top of page 13, the right column. And what type of cyclist? So let me have Lisi read that first paragraph.
Okay. It says, like most Western countries, South Africa has an army of spandex-clad upscale recreational cyclists who usually drive to a reserve to ride bikes worth thousands of dollars. Grobler and Engelbrecht weren't interested in them. They were looking for genuine bicycle commuters.
Okay. All right. So what they're talking about here is, yes, like many places, the spandex-clad upscale recreational cyclists, what we're talking about there, those are like the bicycle uniforms where people wear, right?
Right. Especially, you know, it comes from the sport of cycling. When they do that at the Olympics, that's what they wear. They wear spandex-clad clothing.
Yeah. The stylish attire, the black with the yellow or orange stripes and the perfectly matched helmets and jackets and shoes and everything. That's not what Grobler and Engelbrecht were interested in. They were looking in bicycle commuters, people that dress like that guy there holding that frame with just a shirt and torn pants. So, and we continue with the second paragraph.
In the sprawling township of Alexandra near the upscale neighborhood of Sandton, they found only one cyclist of that description, the genuine bicycle commuter they're looking for.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what they're saying is the people that live in these communities, the upscale, the more wealthier communities, they're going to be driving cars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're not going to be riding bikes 10 kilometers to work.
No.
Yes. So, all right. Listeners, great article. Fascinating. And like we talked about, if you have a chance, go to their website that you see there in line 15 on page 13 in that right column. I highly recommend it. And check out their video on YouTube of their TED conference. Thanks for being here. Hope you learned something. Come on back next time. Till then, this is Bill.
Amanda.
And Elizabeth.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.